Are you looking for Christ-centered, cross-focused Christmas gifts for your young children, grandchildren, or godchildren? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a children's book titled, O Holy Night. This children's resource costs less than $2, plus shipping and handling. O Holy Night is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Holy Night, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. The Contrary of Concordia Theological Seminary with the Magnificat. It is a famous hymn of praise that you'll often hear if you are praying one of those prayer services that is ancient in the church. It comes from the lips of none other than the Virgin Mary. But why is the church still singing this song that is so deeply rooted in the Christmas story? Mary sings this after having heard the news that she has conceived of the Savior. Why are we still singing it today? On all different kinds of occasions. And it goes along with another one of those songs, also found in the early chapters of Luke's Gospel. This one comes from the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias. He sings his own song called the Benedictus, and we're still singing that one as well. Many a Sunday morning we have sung that song. Why is the church still singing these ancient songs? Joining us to talk about the Magnificat and the Benedictus, Pastor Christopher Hull. He's senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Songs of Joy. Christopher, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, Todd, thanks for having me.
These are two songs that have, they're not like the Psalms where sometimes you don't know why they were sung. We know exactly why these were sung by those who sang them. Why is the church still singing them today?
Well, we know why they sing these songs, as you said. They sing them in joyful response to the gifts given to them. Zechariah, at first doubts the words of the angel. That's why he's struck mute. But then in the releasing of his tongue, the first thing he does is sing the Benedictus, the joy of the forerunner of the Christ, his son John the Baptist, knowing that the fulfillment of the prophecies will come true, that the Christ is here for him. And then with St. Mary, you have the same thing. First, unbelief at the words of Gabriel. You know, how can this be since I am a virgin? But then after the words of Gabriel, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done according to your word. And she sings the Magnificat after seeing the joy of John the Baptist leaping in the womb. They receive the gifts from God, meaning the gift of the word. And in exuberant joy, they respond. I think that's why Luther's explanation of the Magnificat is so great. He says that Mary expresses the strong ardor and exuberant joy with which all her, meaning Mary's mind and life, are inwardly exalted in the Spirit. We sing these two hymns, both the Magnificat and the Benedictus, after hearing the word, after the reading of the word and the proclamation of the gospel in the sermon, is when you sing these two hymns. I think that's why the church continues singing them, is we receive the same word, the same Savior, as both Zacharias and Mary received.
The titles of these two songs, and we'll get into them piece by piece, but the titles of them are a little unfamiliar, and some people might say, I don't even know what you're talking about, Magnificat or Benedictus. Can you explain why we call them what we call them?
Well, they're both Latin words. Benedictus is Latin for blessed. That is the first word we sing in the Benedictus, blessed be the Lord. And the Magnificat is Latin for magnify. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So these two are both just the Latin terms for the words that begin the actual hymns.
And in what services does the church continue to sing these two?
Well, in the Benedictus, we sing the Benedictus in Matins, which is, as we would understand it, the service of the morning. Now, these aren't the same as the original hours. Matins is more of the service of when the church arises from her slumber, is when we sing the Benedictus. And the Magnificat is sung during the service of Vespers and evening service, which a lot of Lutheran churches in the Missouri Synod are singing during Advent, during their midweek services, singing the service of Vespers or evening prayer. But the Benedictus is found, not the Benedictus, the Magnificat is found in Vespers.
Is part of the reason that the church has retained these is that they are, in fact, songs inspired by the Holy Spirit himself, that because they're given to us in Holy Scripture, we can be assured of that fact?
Well, and I believe so, yes. You take St. Mary as, you know, the first hymn writer. The other pastor here at Christ Lutheran preached that. She is the first hymn writer. First, she writes the hymn of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have retained them since the foundation of the church, is because these are not man-created words, but Spirit-filled proclamations of the mercy of our Heavenly Father.
Let's begin with the Magnificat. We'll just take them in the order that Luke gives them to us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, more or less verse by verse, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Take us through those words with a few minutes before our break, Pastor Hull.
Well, we take, "My soul magnifies the Lord and rejoices in God, my Savior." This is what creates the rest of the hymn. The joy that Mary has is because of the Savior, this rejoicing. It's not self-created, but given to her. And you look at, to whom has the Father given this? The lowly estate of his servant. And now this lowly handmaid, this lowly woman, will be called blessed, the blessed mother for all generations. This isn't something she has raised herself up in society to be. She is blessed because what the Lord has declared her to be. And the Mighty One has done great things for her, and her name is holy because of the Lord speaking it holy. Our Holy Mother Mary is not holy because she was immaculately conceived, because she is still sinful. She is holy because of the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, the overshadowing of the power of the Most High, as it says in verse 35 in Luke's first chapter.
So when she says, "Henceforth all generations shall call me blessed," she is not saying, "What a good girl am I."
No. She is saying, "I am blessed because look at what the Father has done for me. And more than that, look at what the Father has given to me, that who is in my womb." This isn't a Mary, did you know? Of course she knew what she was receiving. The Savior, Christ the Lord, in her womb, growing in order that he may go and die for her on the cross. That is why she is blessed. She is caring. She is the Theotokos, the God-bearer. And that is why she is blessed, because of Christ.
We're talking about the Magnificat and the Benedictus. Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. It's Friday afternoon, the 14th of December. I invite your questions and your comments. Our conversation with Pastor Hull extends for the entire first hour of the program. We will be talking about the Benedictus a little bit later, but we're just in the first verses of Magnificat in Luke chapter 1, I believe. 1-877-623-6943. Give us a call. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Or send us a tweet at issuesetc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Folks, we have 3 weeks left in 2012, and we're $40,000 short of making budget this year. As you consider your year-end giving, please remember a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online year-end contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gus here. When I'm not out fixing up something with country bobs or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Next month, America will note a tragic anniversary. It'll be 40 years since the Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand. Since then, nearly 56 million babies have been sacrificed on the altar of so-called choice. But who can wrap their mind around so many lives? Look at it this way. If you observed a moment of silence for every baby aborted in America under Roe, you'd be silent for 106 years. Here's another way to look at it. When you think of populated states, you think of New York and California. The number of babies aborted would be almost equal to wiping out the entire population of these two states. Yes, abortion's taken a grave toll on our nation. Please pray with me that God will soon allow us to end this modern-day Holocaust.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
First two stanzas and the refrain of the Magnificat. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're studying the Magnificat and the Benedictus on this Friday afternoon. Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. Pastor Hull, picking up at that verse 50 in the Magnificat, and this is where Mary begins to speak about what it is or describe how it is that God has done these great things. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. What's she talking about there?
Well, you look, his mercies on those from generation to generation, recalling back to, one, those before her, the covenant relationship God has given to Abraham and David. As Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it's more than that. Fear in the Lord is faith in the Lord. One does not fear God rightly unless God has already given him faith that has a righteous fear, a good fear of the Lord. And his mercy is on those who are of the faith, who have been given the gift of faith, who therefore fear him. This isn't okay. I'm scared of God, so he'll be nice to me. That's not what she's saying. It's those who are faith, those who have the gift of faith, those who are in Christ, in the promise that was given in Genesis 3:15, those receive the mercy of the Father from generation to generation, and even then after Mary, those who are in Christ, those who have received the gift of Christ, receive the mercy of the Father.
In verse 51, she talks about these reversals. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. What's she saying?
Well, Luke is just filled with this stuff, you know, reversals. Looking at what man sees as good, God flips over. Especially looking at maybe the Good Samaritan. Jesus uses that text. You see a Levite and priest pass by on the other side. Those are the righteous, holy ones in Israel. And then who comes along and helps the man left for dead in the ditch is the hated one of Israel, the Samaritan. Jesus is not what man expects him to be. In his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he's not coming in on stallions or with a triumph like Caesar. He comes in on a donkey, humble and lowly. When he dies, his death on the cross, he does not die a glorious death on the battlefield, nor does he die in a rich palace. He dies the humble death, and therefore, in the eyes of a father, the glorious death on the cross. This is Mary preaching that everything in man's eyes is not what God declares it to be. God, the Father, switches everything, turns it on his head, creates this great paradox in the world in his Son, Jesus. Everything is changed. The rich in the world are poor. The poor in the world are fed good things.
And then she concludes the song in verse 54. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And we're going to hear again about Abraham in the Benedictus. Mm-hmm. What does this reference to Abraham? Where is she pointing us now?
Well, she's pointing back to Genesis, specifically, I would say, chapter 12, where God makes the promise to Abraham. You know, we always go to the covenant, to circumcision. But as St. Paul says, no, Abraham is the man of faith before circumcision. The promise comes that through your seed, Abraham, shall all generations be blessed. Count the stars in the sky or the sands on the seashore. If you can count them, so shall your offspring be. And the reality is, we cannot count them. All of the offspring of Abraham are numerous in Christ. He has remembered his mercy as he spoke to Abraham. The promise is fulfilled, the promise given in the garden in the fall, that he shall crush your head, you shall bruise his heel. That promise then given to Abraham is now fulfilled in the womb of the Virgin Mary.
A real quick question there. You said before that little song that's so often heard at Christmas time, Mary, did you know? She did know, and this song is evidence of what she knew. What did Mary know singing this song of her Savior with about a minute?
She knew that this one in my womb, the one who nurses at my breast, the one I will raise as a little boy, is the Savior. Is Yeshua, Yahweh with us. Yahweh saves us. He is the one who will die on the cross for the sin of the world. He is the one that will save, ransom his children, Israel, as the prophet Isaiah declared. He is the one who will bring us out of our captivity to sin and the devil. She knows this because the angel Gabriel declared it to her. This is what your son will do. And because of that, faith was created in the heart of Mary that clings to the words of God. For she could not sing this hymn if it was her own pondering thoughts in her heart. No, This hymn is a declaration of salvation that only the Holy Spirit could produce within her. She knew everything because faith, the Holy Spirit, knows what Christ would do.
The first part of the Benedictus, this is a song being sung now by the father of John the Baptist after the boy has been born. Let's start with those first verses then in the time before we have this break, Pastor Hull. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited to redeem his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. It's a little history lesson, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. This is Zechariah proclaiming who is coming. It is Christ who is coming, the horn of salvation in the house of his servant David. Christ is in the line of David. This is pointing to who is now coming into the world, but he's pointing back to this prophecy that is now being fulfilled.
When he says that term, horn of salvation, what is he talking about?
Well, we look at this understanding, horn of salvation. He caught me there for a second. when he says he is the horn of salvation, you see him mainly proclaiming that he is the ransom, a horn. It's trying to find the right words here to really understand this.
I mean, Mary starts her song with salvation too. They both seem to be kind of focused in the beginning of their songs on the salvation aspect here.
Yeah. When he looks at it, kind of like as we sing, I think I kind of got a good grip on it. This horn of salvation is Christ himself, but you take even some of the hymns we sing in this time of the year, like Lo, how a rose there blooming, things of this nature. Jesus is, as the prophet Isaiah said, the rose that rises up from the stump of Jesse, the root of David. He is the horn of salvation.
Well, let's take a break right there. When we come back, we'll pick up on that. Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. We're looking at the two great songs at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, the Magnificat and the Benedictus. It's Friday afternoon, December the 14th.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
You, my child, shall become a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His way, to give His people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory be to the Father.
The second part of the Benedictus, we're talking about that great song from Luke's Gospel, sung by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. Now, all of the pieces that you have heard from both the Magnificat and the Benedictus come from a great CD called Evening and Morning, the Music of Lutheran Prayer, produced by Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. You can click Listen on Demand or give Concordia Publishing House a call and ask for Evening and Morning, the Music of Lutheran Prayer. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Let's talk with Cindy, who's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on this Horn of Salvation. Wednesday night at our Advent service, Pastor Ed Melchior preached on why Jesus came, and he gave several reasons, and one of them was to achieve our salvation. And he commented on the fact that God raised up a horn of salvation in Christ, and it's not like a horn like a trumpet that you blow or an instrument that you blow, but like a powerful animal's horn, like when two rams, you know, go at it for, you know, to predominate over one over the other. And it's a symbol of strength. Jesus is our salvation. He's our strength.
Cindy, thank you very much. And I think she's also referencing there the biblical roots for this in Psalm 18:2, where that language, horn of salvation, occurs, Pastor Hull. What are your thoughts?
Oh, first off, I love that section. That's my wife's favorite part of this interview so far, is the horn of salvation where I fumble through the Bible. So, lovely stuff. But no, I mean, that's... The reality is, this horn of salvation is the mighty work that our Lord does for us. but even also the horn being this bellowing forth of salvation. It announces that Christ has come. Sometimes the worship services would be started by the blowing of a horn. I think there's many reasons that Zechariah uses this, but first and foremost, it is the mightiness of the Savior who comes, who has been raised up from the house of his servant, David. So,
In verse 70, he says, he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. Let's pause there at the middle of 73. He has returned to the same theme, even though he and Mary are separated by both time and distance here. They both seem to be singing on the same theme of promises kept to Abraham.
Yes, and that's what they always go back to. That's the comfort, is the promise of God to Abraham. The comfort is not in their own achievements, but finally this promise given at the garden, given to Abraham, is now being fulfilled in Christ. We have his forerunner now. Now you have the Christ coming. It's this mercy that was promised to our fathers is now being fulfilled.
Then he continues, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And it's kind of odd. You mentioned before in the Magnificat that she talks about those who fear the Lord, and you said it isn't, I'm afraid of God. And here he says, we're serving him without fear. Are they both talking about the same thing?
Well, I believe they are. Well, you have Mary talking about those who fear him. But now that we serve him without fear, we live in our vocations not trembling at what God's going to do to me, because now we are in Christ. The promise is fulfilled. Now it is not our sin that condemns us, only unbelief condemns us. Now we serve the Lord, as Luther says, in the second article of the Small Catechism with the Creed, that we may serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, because we are in Christ. The only way we can serve the Lord without fear is when we have been delivered from the hand of our enemies, from sin, death, and the power of the devil.
And he concludes the song speaking to this newborn child, his newborn child, John the Baptist. What does he say of John the Baptist there?
Well, he says that, you know, you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way. Now, of course, he's hearkening back to the Old Testament, to Malachi, that, you know, this is Elijah that will come to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. What is John the Baptist's vocation? And you got to love this, too. Read about on the fourth Sunday in Advent. John the Baptist says, I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord for the repentance of people's sins. He's listening to his father, Zechariah. This is your vocation. You're not the one who saves. You're the one who gives knowledge of salvation. You're the one who points to the Christ. And because of this, the tender mercy of our God, the sunrise shall visit us from on high and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The way of peace, the sun rising upon us, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that light is given to us who are in darkness, as we read in John 1. Zechariah is proclaiming to his son, this is your vocation, the one who prepares the way for the Messiah.
Although the church sings both of these throughout the course of the year, you mentioned both in the evening and in the morning in her regular services. Are both of these songs especially appropriate in this Advent season, Pastor Hull?
Oh, I believe they are, and I make that mentioned in my article. I say we sing these especially during the season of Advent because we are singing these hymns of reception. The point of both Advent is to prepare us to receive the Lord, and then Christmas and the 12 days of Christmas is to receive our Lord Christ. We can only give or joyously sing because we have first received faith in Christ Jesus, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of baptism. That is when we can then sing, and Advent is that glorious time of repentance and reception of forgiveness.
Why is it so important that with these songs given to us in Holy Scripture, the church does well to continue singing these, not to say, as so many have sadly, Pastor Hall, well, you know, those songs were great then and there, but we can come up with our own here and now. Why is it so important that we continue to let both Mary and Zechariah be our hymn writers in the church today?
Because we deal with the same sin and the same devil. I mean, look at what happened today, for instance. You know, the massacre of those children in Connecticut and those adults. This happened at Holy Innocents. This happened when destruction came upon the earth. Death and the devil are active. Modern day contemporary theology of glory, spirituality, will not comfort the terrified conscience. Only the gift of the Holy Spirit sings in joy. For joy is not an emotion or a feeling. It is a gift. The joy that both Mary and Zechariah proclaimed was given to them, and we continue to sing them today, because without the gift of Christ Jesus, there is no joy or peace in our life.
Pastor Christopher Hull is senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois, and he's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Songs of Joy. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
In the second hour of the program, Dr. Andrew Steinman's going to join us. We're going to spend that entire second hour remembering, well, the church will wait until Monday to remember, but here on Issues Etc., we like to get a jump start on those things. The church will be remembering Monday, and we will today. Daniel, the prophet from the Old Testament, and his three young companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's hour two of Issues Etc. Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. all through this week, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift this weekend. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. And for any sized year-end donation, we will send you a CD with one of my Christmas sermons and a Confession of St. Peter sermon. Also the CD, Lutheran Service Book, Hymns and Services. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2012. Talk about people that walk in darkness. We know what that is today, don't we? We know what it is every day, but especially on a day like this of great bloodshed and tragedy. What the darkness of sin looks like, what the darkness of death looks like, what the darkness of a world where the devil still has a little reign to run about and do his evil deeds. We know what that looks like. All the more reason for us in Advent hope to pray, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." All the more reason with Advent hope to sing these songs of joy in spite of the darkness, joy in the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, the Magnificat and the Benedictus. The church continues to sing those songs because she has that Advent home in Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. right after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.